Thank you, young ladies. Appreciate that very much. If you take your Bibles, please, we'll turn to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to read verse number 22, please. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Let's stop there. Father, thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness, your wonderful love for your children. Thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful inheritance of eternal life that you've given unto us. We appreciate it very much. It's because of your Son and his sacrificial work upon the cross, willingness to come and pay our debt that we might have eternal life. We want to thank you so much for that. Thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, use it to thy glory. We'll thank you in the wonderful, loving name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to preach a message which we've entitled Treasures and Inheritance. Treasures and Inheritance. What do you do with that which you leave? How do you know what is best? What do you do with it? Some have quite a lot to leave. Others may not have as much to leave. How do you decide what is best to do with it? Tonight I want to try to be a little help and maybe helpful in answering some of those things. If Joe Asbury was here tonight, he would say, put it in your will, leave it to your church. Amen. He spends most of his life traveling around and helping to make out wills and things like that. And is it okay, Brother Ross, to leave it to the church? I think it's a wonderful thing to leave a good portion to the church. I think that's a right, proper thing because it goes into the work of God. Now, I understand something, all right? I understand something. I want you to listen to me. You will make the decision what you do with yours. I understand that. Every person here will decide. What I'm going to try to do is give you some principles, some thoughts that will maybe help you in your decision. I realize that when I get done preaching, every person is going to decide himself down the road somewhere what they're going to do when it comes to their will or how they're going to leave things. I understand that. I do believe this. I believe a church that is truly doing the work of God, and to me that's important. I wouldn't just leave money or possessions to any church. I'd make sure that it was a church that was going forward, getting the gospel out, making sure people got saved and was growing in the Lord. That's the kind of church that I would leave some of my inheritance to. I want to say also, it is not good for a church to be rich. It is not good. Now, listen to me. Let me explain something. This church is not rich. You may see some money in the bank, but they're getting ready to build a building. Getting ready to build a building over here. Amen? And that is right and proper. In fact, we need more to add to that to build this building. But I have seen churches that's had inheritances of up to $1 million. And that money has set in those churches. Let me tell you what people will do if that is true, if that happens. They'll quit tithing. They'll quit giving. That is not good. God keeps us, I believe, on an even keel, keeps everything balanced so that all of us can be blessed by giving our tithes and our offerings into the church. I mean, to me, it's been exciting to see God working, you know, in this building program, seeing it build. And we here a while back got a pretty good size offering in. That was exciting and thrilling. But, you know, all the offerings that's come in, the small or the big or whatever it is, it's been exciting to me to see it begin to build. And pretty soon, you know, we're going to start out here on this building and we'll need more to finish it. But it's not good for a church to be rich. Okay? It's good if a church has a vision. Because all kinds of money can come in, and that money will go out for the glory of God, either through soul winning, through building buildings, whatever the necessity is, they'll use it for the glory of God. They'll put it in missions, and they'll do right by it. And they won't sit around with great big million-dollar bank accounts. That just won't happen if you're doing the work of God. Amen. So I'm just simply saying, is it right? Is it good for us to leave things to the church? Well, I believe it is. I believe it's a right and good, proper thing. I would want to be a part of the future of this church. I want to see people saved. And to know that some of my wife and I's, what we have, didn't much, but what we have would go and certainly help the future of this church grow and people would get saved. And I think that's a wonderful, proper thing. I still believe, though, in that little adage, you know, give your giving while you're living so you're knowing where you're going, where it's going. Did you ever stop and think of something? It doesn't take just a whole lot of faith to leave your money somewhere after you're dead. Did you ever think it takes a whole lot more faith to give it while you're living than when you're dead? Yes, say, well, I'm going to leave all this. Well, what are you doing with it now? What are we doing with it now? Now, we're going to talk about inheritance in a few minutes here, what we do and all that. But honestly, what are we doing with the money now? Saving it up? I know, but when I die, I'm going to leave it. That don't take any faith. You wasn't going to take any of it with you anyway. True? I mean, you're not going to take a dime with you. I'm not either. Amen. I don't take any faith just to leave money somewhere after we're dead. I don't take faith. But it takes faith to give of that which God has given us while we're living. It takes faith to turn loose of some of those treasures that we have on this earth and turn them into heavenly treasures. And I believe that's what God wants. He's interested in us turning our earthly treasures, possessions, into heavenly treasures. Because that's what he says, lay up treasures in heaven, not upon this earth. Okay? Now, folks, I understand all of you are thinking right now some things and thinking, well, you know, I don't want to get rid of all of mine. And I'm not telling you to. I'm just telling you, you better think ahead. Because death, when you come to death, is really the last time you have a chance to give, to decide what you're going to do here on this earth to give. How are you going to leave an inheritance, you see? Death pretty well ends all of that. Your decision you've made, where are you going to leave it? What are you going to do with it? And are you going to turn those riches into treasures? Amen. So again, do your giving while you're living, so you're knowing where it's going. Amen. John Wesley said this: money never stays with me. It would burn me if it did. I throw it out of my hands as soon as possible, lest it should find its way into my heart. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Find its way into my heart. Here was his philosophy. I'm just giving you his philosophy. Give generously and leave little behind. Now, folks, it's something to really think about because, well, what am I going to do with this mass of money that I've... And maybe some of you can't say that. Maybe you don't have a mass of money. But what are you going to do with it? How are you going to distribute it so that it'll glorify God? You understand what I'm saying? Because I think you do understand. We'll probably make this statement more than once. I think you do understand that money that is just left and being distributed is not turned into heavenly treasures. Unless that money who you've distributed to turns it into heavenly treasures. Amen? I mean, you understand that. you know, I've heard this all of my life. You have too. Just about everybody, sometime or the other, has wanted to maybe win this. What was that? Publishing Clearinghouse. They get a letter in the mail and they think, that's it. To some degree, maybe you don't really think about that, but you think, boy, it'd be nice. You understand what I mean? I'd like to have that. And most every Christian I've ever heard say I'd like to win that has said, oh, I want to do God's work with it. Oh, sure you do. Oh, sure you do. That's exactly what you had in mind. That's why you want it so badly. Amen? No, you don't. Oh, you might give some of it. You might give some of it away and all that, but it's basically to benefit us. It's for our benefit. We want that extra. We want that mound of money somewhere put up for us so we can do what we want to do. I believe in sacrificial giving. I believe that's what honors God. The reason I believe that is because of the scripture. I believe Jesus made it very plain when that dear widow lady gave her two mites. Made that very plain. I know I've mentioned this before, but you look at that thing and you see what Jesus pointed out. Not that the other ones that had given was wrong in giving, but they gave out of their abundance. You understand that? She gave sacrificially all her living, and Jesus pointed it out. So to me, that says something. That says, Bob, Jesus loves sacrificial giving. It's what he loves. It's what he wants of you, me. Understand what I'm saying? So I think we need to decide what are we going to do. And I know it's all real easy. And Joe, I didn't see you way back there. I let you taught that there. Here. But anyway, if we'd be very careful with our distribution, what do we do? What are we going to do with it? I'm just going to give you a thought. Maybe it would be good if there just wasn't a whole lot to distribute. I'll talk about the families in a minute. I understand that. I understand all these things. But I'm saying maybe it would be better from God's standpoint. Not that we went out and blew it and spent it all for bad thing or wrong things, but that we had already distributed it while we was living. We'd already give it while we was living. You understand what I'm saying? I think maybe that might be the better program. Unless we know that which we're distributing is going to go for the glory of God. Okay? You say, Brother Ross, should we give? Should we leave our kids everything? Should we leave our family everything? Again, you will do what you decide to do. Pastor Ross understands that. But I want to say to you, my advice is absolutely not. And I'll show you down here in just a few moments what I believe we should do. Now, you say, you think it's all right to help our children? Well, sure. Sure I do. I really do, because we all love our children. We love our families, and we all want to do something for them. And I understand all of those things, but I think we've got to be careful. And I want to wait a few minutes where I give you the reasons why. But I think it's dangerous to give anybody a lot of money. I said this to the church. It's bad business for a church to be rich. And I think it's bad business for an individual to be rich. You say, well, Brother Ross, why? Because let me say something to you. Probably 95, maybe more than that percent of the people do not know how to handle money. They do not know how to spend it correctly. I read this one time. I think I said this once before. Most inheritances that is given to, whether it's children or family members, within 2 years is gone. All of that that an individual spent their life making. You see, they have gained it a little at a time. And they've gained it and they've built it up. They know how to handle it. They haven't went out and wasted it. But you give that to an individual who is not used to money, and they will waste it. Believe me, they will waste it. It'll go in a very soon. Read the statistics on these people who have won big portions of money. And find out exactly what happened to them within a year or two or whatever it might be. They're broke. They don't know how to handle money. If you're not used to having large amounts of money, you'll blow it. Pat Bolton here a few years ago was telling me when I was discussing some of this, and in fact, I think it was when I was preaching these originally, he was through here, and he said, let me tell you a story real quick. He said, I know a man who got a settlement. He said, one year he got $375,000. The next year he got another $375,000. And the next year he got $70,000. He said, Brother Ross, he was a good friend of mine. He said, throughout all of those years that he got that money, he said, many, many times he came up to me and wanted to borrow a few bucks. Most people do not know how to handle big money. They'll waste it. They'll spend it frivolously in a very short period of time. You say, well, Brother Ross, I would not do that. I don't know whether you would or not, but let me say to you, most do. Because you're not used to it. You're getting money. You're not used to having big money. And all at once it's handed to you. It's given to you. Now what am I going to do with it? You know, it sounds nice. I'm sure if I asked some of these young people down here, they'd like to have $500,000. But I'm going to tell you right now, they wouldn't know what to do with it. And it would be bad for them. See, we think a lot of money's good for us, but it isn't good for us. And I'll talk about this in a minute. We lose our dependence upon God. I'll share you something, you know, about that in a moment, but we need to daily, Jesus, the Word of God spoke about thanking Him for our daily bread. There's a reason and a purpose for that. Every day you get up, you thank God for the breakfast, but you look around your house and you thank God that there's some cans of food in the cupboard. Now, I don't know whether you do this or not, but I do this. I thank God for what He's given me, and I had some meat out there in the freezer, and I say, Lord, don't let me ever forget that You put it there. Amen. That I didn't put it there. You did. Sir, because you put it there. And I want to thank You for it. Look around and thank God for the warm home. Boy, it's something to thank God for now, isn't it? That He's given us and reminded that it's Him that gave it to us. Provided it for us. The vehicles we drive, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, all comes from Him. And we don't want to ever forget that. Amen. Now we get dependent on big money. All at once we got big bank accounts. And all at once we're not so dependent upon the Lord anymore. Oh, you say, I wouldn't do that. Yes, you would. Your human nature, just like me. Amen? We all have flesh. You see what? Do you understand what I'm saying? So be careful in pouring down big amounts of money on an individual that will never know how to handle it. It's not good for him. And again, we'll cover some things in just a few moments. But there's a principle in the Word of God. I want to stop here and kind of give you a little bit of that principle. I want to go back to the book of Revelation. Now, you might hold your place here at Proverbs, the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. Verse number 4, please. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That first resurrection he's talking about refers back up to verse number 4. And he says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, what I'm going to do with some of these verses of Scripture, I'm trying to teach a principle of how God handles things. You notice here he said there was those who would not receive the mark of the beast in the forehead or in his hand. And he said they were blessed. In other words, they refused to receive it. You'll notice he says right after that that they will reign with him. There's a principle in the Word of God that God rewards faithfulness. He rewards faithful service. He rewards faithfulness unto him. Here you'll find it over and over in the Scriptures. But here he said, they did this and that. They would not take this. But now he says, they're going to reign with me. Now I'm going to go back over into Matthew, the 25th chapter of Matthew. And folks, we're not talking about salvation. You understand that. We're not dealing with salvation. Salvation is given by the wonderful grace of God, completely, fully. You don't earn it whatsoever. None of us earns salvation. Not a one of us. Did I say the 25th chapter of Matthew? Let me get there. 25th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to look at verse number 21. And he said, let me go with verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto the 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He said also the same thing with those who had 5 talents. I'm not going to read it all, but did you notice there is reward for those who did right? You understand? See, I'm convinced of something. I'm convinced there's a real lukewarmness in the church today. And one of the reasons that lukewarmness is present is because we think it's just going to be okay to get to heaven. No, I really do. Well, I'm just going to be glad to get there. Well, I am too. And I think it is going to be wonderful to get to heaven. I don't think anybody's going to be sorry they're there. But I do believe that, according to the Scripture, that God rewards faithfulness and right living and right doing and doing things right that's with our possessions and all of those things. He rewards it. I don't understand all how he's going to do it, but time and time in the Scripture, he teaches that. And right here, he said, okay, you done good. You made your talents increase. So, you know what? I'm going to make you ruler over this or that. Over in Luke, it talks about ruler over certain cities. Why? Because they done right. Now, I said, and I believe this, there's a lukewarmness in the church because I think a lot of people think it doesn't matter what I do. I'm ready for heaven. And it don't matter real lot how I live or whether I give and do all these things. It doesn't really matter because I'm going to go to heaven anyway. Well, you probably are if you know Christ is your Savior, but it is going to make a difference. And throughout all eternity, because God's rewards are eternal rewards. Because God's eternal. Okay? So again, I'm trying to get you to understand it is important. I'm not trying to get you to work for anything. I'm not trying to get you to work for your salvation. I'm trying to get you to serve God so that God will be able to reward faithful servants. Well, you understand it or not, that's what this preacher wants, and that's what your pastor wants. He wants you to stand before God as a faithful servant so that God can give those rewards to you as he sees fit to do, because it's going to be worthwhile. That's a principle in the Word of God. I'm going to take you over to Colossians, and they've got a lot of scripture I could take you to, but I don't have time to do that, but just to so you'll understand, let us read another one. Colossians, the third chapter, please. Verse number 17. He says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And listen, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." You know, he lists all of these things down there here. He says to the wife, you be submissive to your husband. He says to the husband, you love your wife. That means real agape love, the kind of love that God would do. It means to love her. Seriously love her, not just physically love her, but to love her, because God has given her to you. Amen. He tells the children to obey their parents. Says to the master, you take care of those who are under you, who work for you, and for those workers you serve your masters well. Then he says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Folks, God rewards just obedience to his word. If I was a wife, I'd want to be submissive, because we're going to be accountable for it. If I was a husband, I'd be sure that I loved my wife. If I was a child, I would be sure I obeyed my parents, because we're going to be accountable. You see, that's that principle in God's word. There's rewards for doing right. It's our inheritance that God gives us for doing right. Amen? Now look over in 1 Corinthians. The third chapter of 1 Corinthians. These are familiar verses, but I won't read too much, but I want you to listen, as he says in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Now, did you hear what he said in verse 14? If any man's work abide, which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. I'm saying this to you and I. It does matter how we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And those are individuals. That's you and me. It does matter what we do from day to day and how we build. It does matter. Why? Because God says, I'm going to reward you for it, or you're going to lose the reward. Right? So it does matter. I'm just, and again, I could take you to a lot of scriptures. You go over in the book of Luke, he talks about giving to the poor. And he said, you'll have your reward. So there's a lot of ways to lay up treasures in heaven. He even talks about, I think that's in Luke, as I remember, about how we will treat our enemies, to be good to our enemies. And he even says in that that you will receive a reward for being good to your enemies. Amen? So again, please, take these things into account. It does matter how you live. Does matter how you give, what you do, how you respond to the truth of God's word. It does matter. Now, don't you agree with that? And it is going to matter throughout the ages of eternity. Amen? Go back to our text. That's in Proverbs. He said, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Won't you listen just a moment? Now, folks, you can say to me, and you can say, well, that means that mom and dad or grandpa and grandma ought to leave a physical inheritance to their children. He said, blessed is that man that does that. I don't believe for a minute that God is talking about physical properties and money. Because let me say this to you, there's some people who have lived poor all their lives, some degree cannot help it. There's Christians in foreign countries that don't have anything. Now, would that man over there who would be impossible for him to leave physical things to his children be considered a bad person because he could not do that? Of course not. But God is telling us that there's multitudes of things that we should leave to our children's children. I'm going to read you something from John Phillips said. This is not mine, but I want to read it to you. Society owes much to a good father who loves, protects, provides for, disciplines, and trains his children. He passes on to his children an example, an honored name, a tradition of achievement, and a legacy of values and stability. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. A child who has not only a good father, but also an honored grandfather, has a legacy of stability and continuity. What he's saying is this: when you want to leave something for your children's children, leave them a good name. Leave them someone who has given forth an honest report in his community. Amen. Leave them a good example to follow. Amen. Leave them a godly life that they can look to and say, I want to follow and be godly like dad or grandpa or grandma or mom. See, that's the inheritance that he's talking about in the scriptures. Now you say, Brother Ross, is there anything wrong with me leaving something for my children? I'm not saying that. I'm saying, above all, leave them these things that are important. If we never left them a dime, my goodness sakes, if we could leave them the things that I just talked about, That ought to just bless your heart to say, I've got a godly dad or a godly grandpa or a godly great grandpa that has lived for God. That's a great heritage. Amen. A wonderful heritage. Amen. And it's more important than any money or possessions, properties, or wealth that they could ever leave you. You understand? You know, build that kind of a relationship with your children and grandchildren. Build that and be an example for them that they can follow. And let me say this to you. You children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, whoever you got, have no right whatsoever to despise a good name and to bring it down. You have no right. I have no right to bring down my daddy's name and my mommy's name. They lived a good, clean life. They was hard workers all of their life. My brother Herschel and I was just talking about that. Marvin was operated on, came through it well, and anyway, his eye. And so anyway, we was up there the last 2 days up at the hospital with him in Indianapolis. But anyway, we was just talking about that. You know what? Our mom and dad was just hard workers. Did they have a big inheritance to leave us? 100 times over, no. But they left us something more important. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, that's much more important than all of these things that we think one of these days that somebody is going to leave us. What happens when an inheritance comes? Let me show you real quick. You're in Proverbs 13. Let me read to you verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The sluggard, the lazy person who will not work, he said he hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. God always honors hard work. Always does. He honors that. Verse number 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Oh my goodness. He said, yeah, you could go out here and make yourself rich, but you don't have anything. You're like the Laodicean church who thinks you're rich and you have nothing. Amen. But yet he said there's those who are poor who has great riches. Why? Because they've put their riches that they had in heavenly treasures. And they're rich with God. Amen. Amen. Sure they are. Look at verse number 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You see what he talked about? Labor. That's how you, if you want to be rich, go out and work. Amen. I mean, you want to get more money than you have now? Go work for it. Amen. Understand? Dave's a little boy here in this church. It's been a good little bit ago. No one will ever know who it was. Came up to me and said, give me some money. That's what he said. Give me some money. I said, go get you a job. He didn't know what to say. He's just a little fella. I said, go get you a job and make some money. I'm not going to give you any money. He said, Brother Ross, you're mean. What do you mean I'm mean? If he'll do it there, he'll do it when he gets up here. Yeah. Give me some money. Give me some money. Well, go get a job.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. Amen. I know you think I'm mean, but I'm not mean. I'm just truthful. Amen. Proverbs 20. He just shocked that little boy. He didn't know what to say. He just looked at me and just took off. Proverbs 20:21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. You see, whether we understand or not, folks, we don't really need a big inheritance all at once, a bunch of money all at once. We need to labor for it and work for it. There's people who's worked all of their life and gained and has built up a pretty good amount of money. But they done it a little at a time. They worked. That's right. That's proper. Amen. And then you hand that same amount of money to someone who's not used to it and you'll destroy him. Yes, you will. You'll destroy him. Let's say you have $500,000. You've got two children. You die, and you say, I'm going to leave it half to each one of them. You've just left them $500,000. $250,000. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think you've helped them? You better give it some thought. They wouldn't know what to do with it. Oh, they'll do something with it, but they won't know what to do with it, and it'll ruin them. Let me tell you some reasons why I think it will. I just want you to be careful about leaving an inheritance that would change their lifestyle. Folks, people don't need to be living a better lifestyle. They really don't. They need to learn how to give and be a giver and live on a lower lifestyle. I know that don't go over. I'm just telling you what needs. You see, if you want to leave them something that'll be an assistance to them, not overwhelm them and change their life. You leave your children something that's assistant to your children, it'll help them down the road a little, that's fine. I'm just telling you what I believe. But when you pour a whole bunch of money into an inheritance, into somebody's life, you're going to hurt them more than you'll ever help them. Okay? Now let me tell you why, because I got to close. Here's what happens. They will lose, as I said a while ago, they will lose their trust and dependence on God with a large amount of money. You say, I wouldn't. Yes, you will. There's something about having a bunch of money that you look to and you think, I've got that. No matter what happens, I've got this. And on a daily basis, we are to trust God for our daily bread. And thank God on a daily basis for what He's given us. And when you've got a whole bunch of money, I'll guarantee you right now, you'll forget God. You'll forget that you're dependent every day on God Almighty. Number two, they lose their work ethic. You see, God intends for us to work. And they lose their work ethic. They got the money. They don't have to go in to work. They don't have to do that. And first thing on most of those people who get a lot of money do is quit their job. Foolishness. And when you give someone a whole bunch of money, one of the things is they're not going to want to work. Folks, listen, none of us probably down through the years would have liked to have said, you know what, I wish I didn't have to work. But God planned it that way. That keeps everything in the right perspective. The worst thing you can do is work and say, I want to quit work at 40 years old or 45 years old. I'm talking about health-wise. I understand those things. But I'm talking about just people who want to quit working at 45 and shame on you. That's against the principles of God's work. God's word. Because why? We need a work ethic. And you give a whole bunch of money to somebody and they're going to not want to go to work. They want the easy life. Well, go run here and run there and they'll get themselves in trouble. It's good for us to work. Understand? Not only that, thirdly, a wife loses her dependence on her husband. God has put a very precious thing between a husband and wife. Donna depends on me to protect her. Donna depends on me to provide for her. That's scriptural. That's why God has given her a husband. It's up to me to protect her, not her to protect me. It's up to me to provide for her, not her for me. And when the opposite happens, the relationship changes. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes women make more money than men make. That's a bad thing. It's a bad, bad thing. Because it hurts the relationship because they become independent of their husband. I'm not condemning everybody that works. I'm simply saying you better be careful. Because you all at once become independent of your husband. You understand what I'm saying? See? So it's not always good to have a whole lot of money. Not only that, husbands lose their desire to provide. As I said earlier, you know what they do? A lot of times they quit their job. When they got all that money, they quit their job. Folks, it's supposed to be within we men to provide for our families. That's why you men get up and go to work. You got to provide for your family. That's put there. That's the way God does it. Okay? And then also, lastly, children lose an example of work and sacrifice. You see, the children all this time are watching mom and dad. And all at once, dad don't want to work anymore. He's got plenty of money, don't have to work. Mom doesn't want to do this or that either. And so they go out and eat all the time. And sound familiar? They go this and that, and so mom isn't doing the things at home that she's supposed to be doing, and so the example is gone for that dear daughter on how she's supposed to take care of a home. And the example is gone for the son of how he's supposed to get out and work and make a living. The example's gone. So I'm just simply saying to you, sacrifice is good for us. I think it helped to build our marriage. Because we didn't have hardly anything. My daddy, when I got married, the day I got married, my daddy handed me a $10 bill. That was a sacrifice for my daddy. That was a sacrifice. You know what did I do? I went to work. And we struggled and worked together, and both of us worked, and it built a relationship. It built a marriage. That's the way God does it. Some of you older folk, and you could tell me stories too. You could say the same things. It wasn't easy in the beginning. But it was good. It was good for us. That's why I'm saying you go over here and you give these children or whoever it is a whole bunch of money, you're going to disrupt their whole marriage thing. Because they won't be struggling together anymore. Unless they're very, very wise people. And most of us are not that wise. Amen? So anyway, I hope it's helped. Amen. Think about inheritance. When you decide how you're going to distribute your inheritance, think about it scripturally. Okay? Father, I thank you again today for your grace, your goodness and kindness. And I trust today, Lord, that you'll just use this simple message and help us to just do right. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll just stand, we're just going to give an invitation, invite you to come. Maybe such a thing that here tonight God's touched your heart. And you said, I need to make a decision. I just need to come down to this altar and make a decision. Certainly, if there's anyone here without Christ, my goodness, it'd be a wonderful thing, wonderful time for people to get saved. Amen. But I just invite you and I ask you, please, please, make some decisions on your financial decisions on what you're going to do in the future. How are you going to distribute things? What are you going to do? Have a plan, a godly plan. Amen.